Oh yeah, I'm feeling the vibes today. Welcome, guys. This is another edition of The Drop. Man, we're kicking these things out, guys. Man, I'm feeling good about the show, about the chemistry, where we're going. How you guys feeling today? What's up, Camellia?
What's up, guys? I miss Dre. Yeah.
I know, yeah, Dre's not here. We're going to let them know. Jensine, Cammy, how you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, good, good. Cam?
I said good.
Cam just came home from cutting some people up at work. She's a manager down here, a big manager down here. So shout out to her for always keeping the people straight. And everyone else in the chat. Yes, yeah, Camellia said, Dre is not here. The UK superstar, he's not here. He's running around with Red Bull. But we're going to take the reins and we're going to go and wrap it up. And I'm going to jump in the jungle with these beautiful lionesses. And we're going to talk about some subjects about the culture, for the culture, and things that we all like to talk about, you know, just around the round table. So today, we're going to start with a culture check. You know, this is how we're going to warm up the show. And we saw this on one of the culture's main Instagram pages. And it goes a little something like this. If you saw one of your friend's partners out in public cheating, would you mind your business or would you tell them? Now, this is interesting because I think this can go so many ways. I think they left it a little vague for us to be able to break it down. I'm going to go ahead and start with Camellia on this topic and see if you were out, what would you do? What would you do?
Okay, first of all, I would just like to say anybody who is on this podcast right now, if I see your partner cheating on you, I'm going to tell you. But anybody else? No, I'm not. I'm keeping my mouth
shut.
Oh, us
right here. Oh, us here on the show. Oh, okay. Okay. How would that go down?
I feel like Cammy and Jensie will probably listen to me, but I feel like other girls, if I told them that their partner was cheating on them, whether it be like my cousins, acquaintances, or like maybe some friends that are not as close as Cammy and Jensie, like they will get mad at me. And like, I'm at the point in my life where I just feel like choosing my battles is the most wisest thing to do right now. And that's a battle I'm not willing to fight. So I'm keeping my mouth shut.
So you keep it, you all about peace. If it's not anybody, your best friends or whatever, you about peace, you talking about. Jed, how do you feel? How do you feel about seeing an acquaintance, probably a friend or old high school? You know, we on social media, we know people are with people and stuff like that. What would you do if you seen it out in the public?
One thing I can say, real life, true story, Cammy has actually told me that my partner was cheating. So way back in the day, I mean, it wasn't even considered a partner when we were high school, but still, that's a true story.
What happened? What did you see, Cam? How did that go down?
I'm sorry, Jensie's mic was so loud, like I feel deaf. And I didn't
know, me too. Oh, wow. I had to like back up. I was like,
it's very disturbing.
God.
And I already turned my phone down and it's so loud.
I just wanted to let everybody know how truthful.
What did you say I did? What did you say that I informed about? That I was an informer about?
Cammy
goes, first of all, am I deafening you?
Yes.
No, you're good. Well, it's a little bit lower now, so it's fine, but Camellia said you still are.
All right, because I don't want to deafen our.
All right, you're good.
You're good now. There you go. Okay.
All right. So this is true story. Cammy calls me on the phone. Mm-hmm. We're in high school, and she's like, "Are you sitting down?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I am. Actually, I'm watching TV." And she's like, "Okay, I just want you to know, so and so was making out with a clown. He looked like a clown, and he was cheating on you. And you know, you're my best friend. I just had to let you know." So, and she looks like a clown. You're way prettier than her. So that was.
So before I get to Cammy's view on the actual topic, you had to not only call one of your best friends to see what you witnessed, but you also had to like build up her self-esteem at the same time because you kind of know what would happen.
But I was exaggerating.
Cammy's defense, she looked like a clown. She looked like Ronald McDonald.
She had a very white face and red Ronald McDonald clown hair.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I think his loss in that particular, we're going to say that back in high school, but you as a friend, obviously you answered the question. of course. But yeah, so go ahead. Well, I want to hear the story in your opinion.
Right. Okay. So, well, this is a more complicated situation because the guy was a family member of mine and he already know what it is. He know what he does. And okay. Most times I would not say any family member, tell out any family member doing this, especially my family members who can be like dogs in the street sometimes. Okay. Mm. And I would never say anything, like, you know what I mean? But in this case, Jensi's my best friend. And I also know with this person, like, it wouldn't faze him as much because he just was like that at the time. He just wouldn't.
Oh, so you had a little bit more inside. For you, that's kind of tricky. I mean, you're peddling family versus friend. I mean, you're really in a catch-22 situation.
And then it was high school and we were teenagers. It's like, how long are you going to be mad at me over telling Jensi? Like, come on. He got over it in like a few days. So whatever. But I mean, Jensi has to go. Yeah. Let her go.
Yeah, Jensi, did you break up with him? I mean, what happened? Now I'm intrigued off the subject. I'm like, what happened here?
So back in my younger years, it was an off and on relationship, but that was, I think, one of the ones that was the final straw. I don't know if I went back with him. I mean, because it was high school. So I don't know. We did that like 3 or 4 times until I learned my lesson.
All right. Let's fast forward to today. Today we're hanging out, Cam. Camney, you're driving home and you see a co-worker's husband. Let's say this isn't even that we could take out family, take out best friend. Your co-worker's husband, she introduced you to him 3 weeks ago at the little function. You see him at the Starbucks getting a little friendly. You don't even see him kissing, you see him like rubbing someone's leg, so you know it's inappropriate. It's things like that. What do you do? That's the answer now, because we're keeping it away from family and best friends. That's the answer I want there. You got to see this woman at work tomorrow now.
Okay, well, that's easy because I don't care about my coworkers like that. But maybe I'll try to extort some money from him. Oh, my goodness. $100 right now, I'm gonna tell.
You would do that. See, that's what happened with you, the big sister. See what happened with you, big sister instincts come out. You start scamming, yo. Jen, same situation. Co-worker, somebody acquaintance, somebody you have to see every day, all the time. You have this piece of information. Does your conscience allow you to just let it slide? You have to tell.
I don't know about their partner, but maybe they were the ones out there stepping out. And that ain't
no, I didn't ask you that. Stop copping out. Answer my question.
No, it's none of my business. That's not my business. Okay. If they're not on this podcast, Camellia stole my original answer. If they're not on this podcast, it's none of my business. It really isn't.
Hmm. Oh, I didn't know what you was going to say. How am I going to steal it?
Well, I was going to say that. And then you said what you thought what I was thinking. And you said
All three of you guys, I'm hearing that all y'all are gangster. Y'all ain't going to tell nobody. You're going to let everybody live their own lives and figure out their own stuff, right?
Yeah. That's and honestly, I would say to myself, if I saw that situation, was like, you know, that person that's getting cheated on, like, they must have to know. They know already. Like, how you don't know? They're out in public. They're not even trying to hide it. You must have to know what's going on. So, you know what? I'm not saying anything. That's on you. You need to be aware of what's going on in your relationship. That's not my fault.
Hey, you know what? I thought one of the ladies were actually gonna be like, I'm sympathetic. I understand what, you know, especially if the woman is the one getting cheated on, you understand what they go through a little bit, you want to let it know, but you also understand the ramifications probably of what are some of the ramifications of probably telling someone about their partner being cheated on. Do you guys have any ramifications where it would make you like, nah, maybe I wouldn't tell that person, let them figure it out?
I've always mind my business, so I've never had ramifications to deal with.
Okay, I have one.
Well, Jensi, did you have any?
Well, I was just gonna say, I've seen like the person turn on, like if I were to go and say, hey, I saw so-and-so, that person would start accusing me of something else because they're mad and maybe they don't trust me. And then it ends up being a bigger situation that I don't need to be involved in. Like, I'm not in this relationship and you aren't that close of a friend where I have to start risking my personal time.
Go ahead, Cam, close us out. Cammy.
So what happens is they can, like what Camille and Jensen said, they can turn on you, or even worse is they bring you in the middle of it. Now they're calling you every 5 minutes to get the details. They want to put you on conference call with the guy or whoever guy, you know what I mean? And to describe this, describe that. Now you're in the middle of some argument that you didn't even want to be in. So sometimes they don't even turn on you. They just like include you in on this thing that you didn't want to be in the middle of, like taking time out of your day to talk about it and calling you every 5 minutes about it. And I don't want that either.
You're 100%. I actually just remembered a story of this particular elk that happened to me. It was actually a family member of mine that was getting got. So we had like a whole investigative committee in the house on Facebook because they saw the young lady on Facebook with another guy. So they were questioning, asking my sister, who went to school with the young lady that my cousin was dating, if she was with my cousin or this guy on Facebook, right? So it was big ordeal. So I obviously am like, nah, I'm gonna tell my cousin because we don't get played like that. The funny part was how to tell him. We had this investigative committee getting all the details and data from everyone that we knew in the little circle or whatnot. And then I'm in the corner, I'm looking at them like, why don't y'all just tell him? Now we can't just tell him. It's going to be painful. Maybe it's the way you guys are going. I'm like, nah, we got to tell him. But I went ahead and just called him out the blue without any real information on who the guy was, his name. I just knew that it was happening. And so like Cammy said, I got caught in the middle with all the questions and having to figure out how he was doing after that and keeping up with him. So I do understand how it can definitely affect your mental health, and that's the way that we need to not be a part of that. And I could so understand how you can let people be and let them do what they need to do. So speaking of minding our own business and mental health and so on and so forth, in the news has been an interesting topic about mental health in sports, and especially with what's going on with Naomi Osaka in the tennis world and her, what we would say, fight against the media. I don't want to say that to sound make it sound like she's against the media, but obviously she had some strong statements against the media and their role in mental health when it comes to athletes at tournaments. So I'm gonna let Camney go ahead and fill us in on this topic since this was of interest to her. Camney, you there?
Yes, I'm here. So I wanted to, I'm on my phone right now because I wanted to read exactly what she posted on social media. Perfect. I'm just going to start it off like that. So this is what she said. She said, "Hey everyone, this isn't a situation I ever imagined or intended when I posted a few days ago. I think now the best thing for the tournament, the other players and my well-being is that I withdraw so that everyone can get back to focusing on the tennis going on in Paris. I never wanted to be a distraction and I accept that my timing was not ideal and my message couldn't have been clearer. More importantly, I would never trivialize mental health or use the term lightly. The truth is that I have suffered long bouts of depression since the US Open in 2018 and I've had a really hard time coping with that. Anyone that knows me knows I'm introverted and anyone that has seen me at the tournaments will notice that I'm often wearing headphones as that helps dull my social anxiety. Though the tennis press has always been kind to me and I wanna apologize especially to all the cool journalists who I may have hurt, I am not a natural public speaker and get huge waves of anxiety before I speak to the world's media. I get really nervous and I find it stressful to always try to engage and give you the best answers I can. So here in Paris, I was already feeling vulnerable and anxious, so I thought it was better to exercise self-care and skip the press conferences. I announced it preemptively because I do feel like the rules are quite outdated in parts, and I wanted to highlight that. I wrote privately to the tournament apologizing and saying that I would be more than happy to speak with them after the tournament as the slams are intense. I'm going to take some time away from the court now, but when the time is right, I really want to work with the tour to discuss ways we can make things better for the players, press, and fans. Anyways, hope you are all doing well and stay safe and love you guys, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I'm just going to give my little piece. Yes. So I'm just going to I like Naomi Osaka. I saw an interview with her on Ellen. And I don't know, some people, we don't see personalities like that all the time on TV, but I found it refreshing because you kind of see yourself in her, because I'm introverted too, and I'm not gonna be like that person first time meeting someone. I don't laugh for no reason. There has to be a reason. And she just looked like answering the questions, and it was refreshing because it was down to earth. You know what I mean? And it didn't come off like as being, I call it extra sometimes, like you're extra and you're draining as a personality sometimes. And she just was like, you know, the girl next door. And she was cute about it. So I really liked her. So when she said that, like, I totally understand, like, we all, like, even at work, you need to take a day off for a mental health, like a mental break, like you deserve it. You know what I mean? It can be draining, whether it, even if you're not even introverted, like, just talking to people all the time and not even people that you really always want to be around necessarily can be draining, and you do need to take those days off. And I think that it is outdated. And I also wanted to mention that this, there's a lot of hype going around it, but 35% of athletes, not females either, just 35% of athletes in general feel like this way, like the bouts of depression, the mental health issues, like 35%. That's like more than a third.
That's
so,
that, I mean,
she's not the only one.
She's not the only one. I mean, I don't know how many of you girls follow other sports, but obviously, I don't know, he's been on memes and stuff, but Kyrie Irving obviously has missed time in the NBA this season. And I really believe it's due to mental health and just rest to get over a lot of anxiety and things that go on. He's taking fines. I believe it's upwards of $5,500 every day, every time he doesn't do an interview, because he just doesn't want to, because of the anxiety and the so and the mental health depression that come with that. So Jensine, when it comes to this, I know this is a sports athlete, what do you feel about this? Are athletes and people in the public eye going to take this more serious and come out at the media? Because, you know, they're going to be savage no matter what. Is it on the athlete and entertainers to now tell them to back up, or is there an obligation for them to what we would say, man up and deal with it, and because it's a part of the sport and a part of your payment?
So I heard about this story, I think, while this was all happening last week, and I think that this came and started becoming bigger than what she wanted. She really was just trying to protect her own mental health. But then I think it kind of like escalated, and to the point where she had to, I believe she withdrew from the French Open, correct? So look, we're having this conversation right now, so it was obviously big enough, but, and I know that, like, for example, in the NBA, they fine the players if they're not speaking. The players themselves already have to perform. Like, your whole job is to win a game or win a tournament or whatever the case may be. That's already pressure in itself. And you're constantly being scrutinized. You're already talking to your coach. But then to go ahead and take that a step further and then have to talk to reporters, which may or may not be so kind. We all know how social media, it's like kind of like responding to comments on social media. They're not always kind. So that, you know, what if you just lost the game and, you know, you haven't even had time to decompress, and then someone is asking you, so why do you think you suck so bad today? You know?
Correct.
And it's hard for that player. What do you think, Camelia?
I actually agree with everything that you said. You know, just from a personal standpoint, first of all, I just like how she said, like how Cammy said, Mommy mentioned that she's introverted and that sometimes the speaking in the public is not easy for her. And as an introvert, I can tell you that me personally, I have to like build up courage to go and talk to people. Like, I have to mentally prepare myself. I can't imagine, just like what Jensine said, like, you just played a game, you're tired, you're drained. Now you got to go as an introvert, go build up your mental and make sure you're ready to go talk to people. That must be very hard. But yeah, as I don't watch sports, I didn't even know that you had to do a required press conference after a game. So I just thought that was crazy. But, you know, when I feel like it just came like at the right time, because, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month is in May, and that happened just last week in June, a week off of May. And I feel like, okay, everybody was over here posting everything about mental awareness and everything. And then when it came down to her actually being in that position, it was like, I don't know if people really took her feelings seriously or not. Like, they just, like Jensine said, made it bigger into what it was. Like, she just needed to exhale. She needed a breather.
And you know? I'm not sure how correct I am, but I think I heard on one news network that she was booed. And then when one of the Williams sisters came out, like, they were cheering. Like, that's self-esteem, too. Like,
yeah.
You're out there and you're performing. Did you hear about that, Chris?
Yeah, not in, I know that she got a lot of backlash. I wasn't privy to her actually being booed when she walked out, which would suck. And it just tells you that, you know, most heroes don't wear capes and there's always like a backlash to the first to do something. I think of the generation that's coming out, especially those that are exposed to social media per se, especially Instagram, and how important it is to some of them. And then obviously on top of that, you have to deal with the real media from the big outlets because you are a big deal. And I think we're at a crossroads now where all of these things are bottling and attacking these athletes and performers, not just the media that we see on media day. This is a media all day long. It can get to them, you know, and now they're speaking out, and now they're dealing with a whole another set of media than the heroes that I grew up with, Michael Jordan and so on. They just had to do it after the game. They can go home. Today, these guys are consumed 24/7 with what people are saying about them. Their names are tagged and so on and so forth. And so they're bombarded all the time. So I don't
know. Getting water bottles thrown at them.
Yeah, water bottles thrown at you, fans are acting erratic.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot going on, not just for the fans, the media, and the person. I think everybody just needs to take a step back and understand and care for everyone. If Naomi says, hey, this is affecting her game, why wouldn't the tennis? I just didn't like how the tennis association didn't have her back. And I thought that was an implication of her. But that checks all the boxes of who's speaking out, a minority, a woman, she's young, and so on and so forth. So those are the things that are always going to get backlash and push from the higher ups. But I do say that shout out to her for speaking up, taking the turn. She'll be back. They cannot not have her play. So that's usually always the long term. She will be back, and this story will be around. They always try to kill it, but heroes always make it out. So shout out to Naomi, and go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add, you know, like, I hope that all the associations, not just the Tennis Association, NBA, NFL, especially the NFL, but all these different sports organizations really take this and understand, because if you think about it, your players are giving you their best, their prime years at their youth, and they're getting physically beat up in whatever sport they're doing, and they're giving it their all and their everything. And then on top of that, now there is, you know, to Cammy's point earlier about over 30% of players, this is affecting their mental health. And we constantly see after the fact, like, what about all those NBA players after the fact when they're retired? Not everybody ends up being like a Michael Jordan where they have all this extra income coming. And then there's like no program after that when they're done. They don't know what to do. Maybe they went to school, maybe they didn't, maybe they know how to invest it, maybe they don't. And after they've given all of their physical abilities, and then it also affects their mental, like, hopefully these organizations start to do something and maybe give a little bit more long-term.
Yeah, I think totally... that her, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was saying, I think that her coming out with a written statement about mental health, it was like really important. And I think that could make waves. Just like, for instance, like with, you know, COVID and everything that happened, and people were working from their homes, and then now going back into the field or in person working, like, it's changing the way the workforce is, period. Like, it's no more like you're going to work, a boss is telling you what to do, you go and you complete your job and you go home. Like, the workforce is different now after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like now that she made a statement, it went public, it went viral, we're talking about it, like, that will make waves. It probably, maybe it's the start of maybe changing for, like Jensine said, every association, for all the sports out there.
I totally agree. I think it's time that these athletes understand we're out of the days of the dance, puppet dance, for me, entertainment, you know, and we have to kind of consider them as obviously individuals, and they're not just there for the entertainment and the pleasure of the masses, you know? So shout out to her and Naomi and Camney for that subject. But speaking of dancing for the masses, how many of you guys have a TikTok? How many of you guys got a TikTok account?
I got it.
I got a TikTok account. But I don't post. I just look at it.
Yeah. You got one. You got one, Jen?
Yes and no. I just spy off of Miley's, my daughter's.
You guys have TikTok accounts. I'm the only one on here without a TikTok account. But I'm not going to lie. The craze of this app is all the way around the world. It's international, of course, and we all enjoy it. I'm sure many of us have spent hours just scrolling and laughing about the things that we see on there. And obviously, you know, what happens on TikTok makes its way onto other social media platforms. So we just see what's going on. So I had a topic today because I was scrolling and there were some interesting things that I saw on TikTok. So this subject is called TikTok Made Me Do It, or TikTok Made Me Buy It, you know? So for me, I'm not gonna lie. I was cleaning the bathroom and I saw a TikTok that said that you can cut the bottom of the Fabuloso and put it into the toilet, and then obviously you would get the nice water. You know, you just cut the bottom a little bit, you put it in the top of the toilet, and then obviously when you flush, you would get the nice scent of water. Jensine then informed me that I'm ruining the environment because Fabuloso is not the cleanest or the best cleaning product. Thank you. I got to tell my mom that. I've been sniffing that for the last 30 years. But that was one of the things that I saw that was pretty interesting. I tried it. It worked. Are there anything that you guys seen or bought on TikTok that you thought were pretty interesting? Camille, I'm going to start with you.
Okay, so first of all, TikTok has made me do a lot of stuff. And I would like to say I use TikTok just to like watch, because TikTok, they really do got some gems on there, okay? But I don't post. I don't even know how to use it, all right? First of all, let me tell you some of the stuff that I have done. So there was a special way to wrap your burrito instead of the traditional way, which is roll, roll, roll. So now they're doing like you put a little slice down, like a quarter of it, and then you flip it and you flip it into three ways. And it's like the best way to fold a burrito. And thank God for that gem, because it's like, let me tell you, it's changed my life. Okay.
How many burritos have you had since that discovery?
I haven't had much burritos before that, because every time I try to wrap a burrito, it always fell apart, so I never bothered. But now I can have burritos anytime.
I like that.
Yes.
You got another one?
Yes. I hear the enlightenment in your voice.
You know what it is to know she can have her favorite food anytime she wants?
Yes!
Like,
come
on. Don't play with them, girl. And then,
okay. There was another food one too, and I made my mom try it. I told her how to do it, and she did it, and actually came out good. So big ups to
TikTok. Oh yeah, that fire, that feta pasta, that was so fire.
Mm-hmm. You found a recipe for feta pasta on TikTok?
Yes, it was a game changer.
Like three or four.
But what I want to get into is, okay, so on TikTok, it did make me buy something. I had bought these products that they're supposed to be all natural. And I bought it off of Amazon. And let me just tell you what it was. So one was the pill. They're in pill form and liquid form. So one was atomic gold and colloidal silver. And those are supposed to have like a lot of healing effects or whatever. And I can tell you that I got it. I was proud of it. And I'm telling my mom, my sisters, and Jensine was there. Like, oh, I'm going to start doing this. Like, I'm going through a period in my time where like my health isn't all that great. So I'm like, I want to be able to try something that is more natural and not have to use prescription drugs. So anyways,
so TikTok.
I can tell you, Chris. Uh-huh. Big argument started, yo. Big argument. And my mom and Cammy were not having me ingest no metals. They started pulling up reports about this is bad for you and so is bad for you. And I'm pulling up reports to support my perception. Like, nah, this is good for you. Like, look what it's done for people. And I can tell you, like, there was yelling back and forth, slamming doors, tears. Like, it was a big thing. And ever since then, like, I haven't been on TikTok much. And a lot of times when I do end up on TikTok, I can get carried away easily. Like, I keep scrolling and not realizing how much time has passed me watching these videos. Right. So, like, I'm just not on it anymore. And for the past 3 months, I have not bought anything or did anything off of TikTok, because I just need to take a mental break for my mental health and my mom's and Cammy's.
You know, Naomi from the French Open, you from TikTok, same thing. Of course, we all got to follow our mental and watch our mental health. Cammy, can you beat that? Wait. Before we go to Cam, did you even try the pills? Did you buy them? Did you, or this store?
I bought them, but I'm not. Well, no, I tried the colloidal silver, and that's in liquid form. Oh. And I no longer ingest it. I did a week of like ingesting it, but I don't do it after the argument. But like, if I have like a superficial cut somewhere on my body, or like, for instance, I have a cold sore on my lip, I put it on and it works. It freaking works. And then the Atomic Gold, though, I haven't done it, because that's the one that's in pill form, and I don't want to ingest it because of what my mom.
I was gonna ask, did it work? What were the side effects? So on and so forth.
I mean, it's supposed to make you glow. Like, if the sun hits me and I have ingested Atomic Gold, I'm supposed to be glowing. So we don't
glowing
know.
With Alzheimer's and dementia.
This is the crazy.
Gonna be glowing with.
Go ahead, Jen. What were we saying?
I was just gonna say that TikTok made me do it. Was like one of the biggest fights. It was like not a fight, but it was a pretty big argument. I was like, and then I just sank in my chair.
Oh man. All right, Cammy, jump in, please. Jeez, I'm dying over here.
Okay, we're trying to keep I stay off of TikTok because it's a trap, like Camellia said, because you go on TikTok and 2.5 hours pass you by of you scrolling on TikTok. But let me tell you about some of the things I've done. Well, first I wanted to say, the other day, like Monday, Charlamagne the guy gave this girl Donkey of the Day because there was this dry scoop challenge, which dry scooping is like, you know, when you take your protein powder or your pre-workout and you just scoop it into your mouth. You don't use the water or whatever. So this one girl did that with her pre-workout. A 20-year-old did that, went to the gym, didn't feel right, did her whole workout, went home. She started having chest pain. Her left side went numb, and then went to the hospital, and she was having a heart attack from dry scooping, not having water with her pre-workout. So Charlamagne made a point. He said that, I thought it was so funny that people, like, if you die of doing like a TikTok challenge, like, he doesn't think that you go to heaven because God is like, no, you know, that was kind of stupid. And then the devil's like, no, we don't want you either because, like, you didn't really sin, but... So they're just kind of in limbo, wandering around. And I thought that was so funny. But anyway, one thing that I did learn from TikTok is that, okay, on Amazon, if you have American Express card, and I never noticed this, sometimes something will pop up on the top of your Amazon account, like saying that get 40% off using your American Express card by using your points. So people assume that whatever the cost is. So he did an example with AirPods. That he got 40% off his AirPods. So that happened to me. Like, I got the little thing, like, I was on Amazon, I'm like, let me look if I see it. And then I did have it, and it's not everybody gets the alert, but some people do. But the trick that he said is that people assume that you have to use all your points, is like the total that's on your whatever you're trying to buy. People assume like it already automatically inputs your points from your Amazon card. So say if it was $50 for this item, it'll put in 50 points from your Amazon automatically. And some people will check out and get them whatever the 40% off. But the trick he showed you is that you don't need to use 50 points of your Amazon points. You can just use 1.1 or 1 point, which is a penny, and you still get the 40% off. I did that. That happened to me. I only used a pen, 1 point, which was a penny, still had my points and got 40% off the item. Okay, big up Zachary Burrell with the gems on. And he was showing you how to get flights for the cheap, flights for free. Like, he just shows you everything. So it's the good gems. For some stuff. Yes, those are the gems. Wait, under a minute.
Well, Cammy, were you more intrigued that you saved 40% or that you learned this from TikTok? Which one was more intriguing?
Both. I don't know. The 40% and me only using a penny of my point, and not all of it, because I would have like
been like, no, right. I don't want to use it.
But listen, right, Chris.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Kim.
No, I was just going to say, like, TikTok is not like 100% guilty, because I can tell you, like, because Cammy talking about the scoop challenge made me think of a challenge that I did about 12 years ago, the cinnamon challenge, and TikTok was not around, and I did the cinnamon challenge, and I choked, and I was coughing, and I was vomiting, and I felt my mom was slapping me because she just thought I was so stupid. So you know what? TikTok is not 100% like.
So TikTok is just the viewing site that we see all this stupidity happening, because we've been doing this for a long time. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
it's just a platform. Yeah. So Jen C, you actually have a daughter. She's on TikTok. I believe you just allowed her to get on there. How is that going? Do you join with her? What have you seen on TikTok that actually is intriguing to you and your daughter, at least? This is a
bit geez, when you say it like that, it sounds like such a... Yeah, I let her go on it. First of all, I want to say that I remember Camellia Puff the Cinnamon Dragon, because she had like this cloud of cinnamon puff. It was awesome. So I did do a little like research, and I was like, let me go and reach out to Generation Z and see what they think about TikTok. So after, you know, talking about, I did mention the Fabuloso thing that you mentioned. And also about the dry scoop challenge, and she thought I was crazy. She's like, who is doing all of this stuff? She's like, I've never even seen that. Okay. But I can tell you, she's made some fire cookies from one of the recipes on there, and she got all motivated. So I'm all for TikTok making her like all motivated to go make me some cookies, and they come out really good. So we've had that, and sometimes it inspires her to like organize her room in a certain way for a certain look. So I'm down for that too. I've had positive changes. I think it's up to the person to determine whether what is BS and like what is actual, what everyone's calling gems. So, and for the most part, I just like to watch some of the videos, because some of them are just really funny because people can't dance. And I like to make
fun of them. That is true. My biggest thing on TikTok, big shout out to the guy that has like about 1,000 iPhone hacks, you know, shout out to him. I might be the only iPhone user on this call right now. So he always has hacks for us. And so shout out to him. So yeah, TikTok. Woo! Man, I don't know if I'll ever download one, but hopefully we'll learn more tips, and, you know, keep sending those gems. If you follow us, keep letting us know what it is that you do on TikTok and find out. The next topic, though, is pretty interesting. This is the funny one, because this is where, you know, I needed my man Dre on the show, but I'm going to try to see if I could rock with these ladies on this particular topic. So they say, there's an easy saying that says, Siri, get out of here. A man will say, you know, I want a girl like yours. But a woman would say, I need him. I need her man. Yeah. What is that about? Is this true? Have you seen this? I know that from the guy's point of view that I have done this. I've had guys say, hey, man, your shorty's dope, man. I like her characteristics. Where you get her from, man? She got a sister. I've heard that before. You know, they want something like her. They don't want to actually have her. I've never been in a situation where a guy trying to take my girl, especially if she knew me. I have heard 100 stories about a girl taking another guy's man. There's songs about this. I need Jen C to start this one off. Kick it off with me. How do you feel about this topic? Do you know any situations? Do you have any stories, any insight? The people want to know. Give us the drop.
People want to know. Okay, well, first, I know that Dre kind of like brought up the subject, so I figured I would do my best Dre, and what I did was, well, maybe not Dre. Let me not put the words in his mouth, but I was let me Google how a guy would describe a girl. So one of the quotes that came up was this: nice ass, boobs, front and back features, a maestro in the kitchen, and complains less. And that was the description that one of these guys, and that's how they would describe. What do you think about that one, first of all? Describing a...
In terms of describing a woman?
Yeah. Yeah, like, this is like describing how they would want a girl.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I mean, a guy would somewhat, I mean, that description is obviously superficial. That sounds like a Miami guy. or someone has visited Miami and then went back to like Massachusetts or something like that. That doesn't really get it. But the description of girls to guys is cool. Like, but
well, okay, just, so now
you don't describe my girl though. Like, you know.
No. But like a guy would describe, like, oh, I want a girl like this, this, and this, right?
So for sure.
I have seen girls find a guy and they're in a relationship and I don't even want to say that they're acquaintances. I've just seen this happen. And they are like, I want to be with this person, and they will do everything in their power to be with that particular man. They know they're in a relationship and they're going to show up at the same place as the guy, cause maybe they'll know their schedule. They'll start social media stalking them. They're going to go ahead and start maybe DM, like send a DM or a message. And they have like this whole entire plot. And then little by little, maybe they'll start getting, like trying to pull them away so they could be with them by themselves. And then next thing I like, they end up trying to be like a side chick. Okay. And then once they get into like that area of being a side chick, then they're usually start to kind of talk down of the relationship, the other person's relationship. So I have seen that, and they weren't a friend, and I wouldn't even call them an acquaintance, but I've like seen right. them. I don't want to say where exactly.
God damn, Jensen got the playbook.
She got the whole playbook.
Because I've seen it happen.
She got the playbook, not.
Heard them talking about it, and I'm like just in shock and awe, and it works. Like, these guys go for
the
it.
For that man playbook.
But what I do see happen is that they never end up being their girl. Like, they do it in terms of being in a relationship, and I personally haven't seen them try to get that relationship title.
Well, it sound kind of detailed to me. I don't know.
Can I jump in?
Go ahead, Camellia. Go ahead and second that. How you feel about this topic?
I saw something interesting on social media, and I forgot what account posted it, but it was somebody posted on Twitter that women actually take the biggest L's, because at the end of the day, men marry the woman who they want, but women end up marrying the man that's just available. So I feel like if that's the case, like, there's gonna be a lot of situations where women feel like, I'm gonna take your man, like, I want that man, like, I'm not just gonna take, like, I'm not gonna get with any man just because, like, I'm not gonna be that person that takes the I'm gonna take that man, that's the man I want. I like his qualities, I like how he looks, I like how he's treating you, and I want that. And I think that one thing that a very big couple out there right now that everybody like looks at as goals is Ciara, the singer and her football player man. What's his name?
Russell.
Yeah. Like, yeah. If you look at the comments when there's a post about them, every girl's like, Ciara, send me your prayer. What's the Ciara prayer? How can I get a man like that? Like, this is just, I don't know why women are programmed that way. Like, why can't you all just, or why can't we? Because I'm a woman, right?
Why can't? She said, how come y'all?
I have the answer.
Oh, Cammy has the answer.
Ask the question.
So let me see where I was going. I would say, like, why can't women just like find somebody who's for them? Like, what is not for you, let that person have them. You get what I'm saying? Okay, Cammy, go ahead and I don't know.
Answer that. Help us out here.
So as far as genders go with men and women, men kind of like to do things the hard way. Females, we work smarter, not harder. So we see, and I've never done this, but I just speaking from a female's perspective, if I was like this type of chick, I just see that for them, they see in the relationship, like from the outside in, okay, you're getting treated this way, that way. Does this for you, does that for you. So I don't need to go out there and test some other dude and date and waste my time to figure out what kind of boyfriend or husband he's going to be, because I already see that guy is that. He is already, so I'm going to not be wasting time experimenting. The answer is right there. Why am I going to work harder? And you know what? It's probably maybe
it may be easy because she's gonna find a little crack in the door that she can weasel her little snake self into your relationship and start, like Gentine said, with the people them man playbook, like do all the little things.
People them man playbook.
To like sway him, make him doubt the relationship, show him something new, which is the little 20%, the little newness, whatever it is, and then that's it. She just didn't want to go waste her time dating and trying to figure out some other guy's going to give her what she sees that you have. And sometimes that's what it is. Like, you know, when they're playing with, when you're little and you saw them playing with the toys on Cartoon Network and they were playing and making it look so epic and fun because yeah. you are not the one playing with it. And then you get the toy and it's like, okay, this is not done, how they were playing with it on TV. So I think that's what females do. We're like the kids, like watching the fun cartoon. I mean, the fun toy commercial. We get the toy, and then it's like not all that it's cracked up to be either. You're just envious of how that girl. You're envious of how that girl is happy, and you're not feeling so good about yourself or happy in the moment. And that's just the emotion you're chasing. But once you get it, it's probably not even what you want. And you're going to blame the other dude thinking that he was this, this, and that. And how come you treat her better than me?
And that's why, you know what I'm saying? And that's why Tyler Perry, in one of his movies about the 80-20 rule.
Right, correct.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah. That,
okay. So I don't have to explain it, I guess, right? No, y'all don't, y'all
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, we the 80-20 rule, for those that don't know, is saying that if you're in a relationship and you got 80% of somebody, don't go and chase the 20% newness of something because that 20% is shiny. Understand that the 80% is there to hold you down. And sometimes that 20% looks good, but it's only 20% is going to run out and wear out. You want to stick with that 80% that maybe 20% not there all the time, but you got 80% of it. And that's the kind of the 80-20
rule. But Chris, I want to ask you, why are men so easily swayed? Like, how you in a happy relationship and you another woman come in and just mess up everything?
Because the wonderful 20% question. Is glittery.
The 20% is glittery. What happens is that's and in the conversation with men, the conversation men would have amongst each other is that is after a while we understand who can handle the 80% and who can only chase after the 20%. You understand? We do understand that some people try to mirror the 80%. Percent life, you know, try to have one woman but can't do it. They're cheating. They got other women, but they have their home locked down. They're not the home isn't messed up. They just can't just stay home. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but they try to play the fence and they try to straddle the fence. There are other guys that understand that, you know what, especially when you get up in age, I'm gonna hang my hat. I'm not gonna do it anymore because it's too much more drama. You don't have the same drive anymore. You don't have the same energy to keep up with 2-3 women, and that's usually when if you're married and you got something solid. Usually, guys and sometimes women. I don't know if this is the same thing. If you're unhappy and you're not getting the fulfillment out of your relationship or whatnot, and you're not and you've asked for it and the communication isn't there, sometimes that shiny 20. Is somewhat sometimes needed because guys do need affirmation. They do need love and affection. And I'm talking about, this is without the actual whoremonger mentality, not trying to chase, you know, this is like, it kind of falls in your lap or you're working with someone and then they get your attention and attraction and you tend to just go over there because home may not be as solid as you want it to be. I've seen those particular situations happen, but a straight out, I see that girl with that dude, I'm gonna finagle my way to take her. I haven't really seen that. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but I haven't seen that being an MO of a guy straight out the box. Maybe he's been associated with her, hung out with her, whatever. Like, I really like her, found out she was in a relationship and was like, dang, yo, if I get to know her. And then maybe it finagles that, but there's no like tech your gal playbook, you know?
I have a question. So we're all in a party, right? Like, let's just say me, Camney, and Camille are at a party and a guy comes up and says, hey, I want to get your number. And I'm like, well, I have a boyfriend. Let's just say I really do have a boyfriend in this relationship. I have heard guys say, well, what does that mean? That doesn't
of course.
Mean
anything. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Now I want you to explain now what that guy is thinking. So, you know, that guy knows that you have a boyfriend. So is it that they just want to like do a short-term thing or is it?
Oh, he's not. Well, he's not there. That's the competition part. It's not like if he didn't see you with her, and then he didn't see you with him and then try to catch you by the bathroom and then be like, hey man, I know you with your man, but blah, say blah. You know, that's awkward and weird. And all guys would be like, but you see that she with this guy right here. Now, if you're out by yourself and you call the girlfriend, we've understood that that's a line from you guys. So he probably doesn't one believe you. But if you actually do have a boyfriend, now the game is, do you actually give the information? Because there's times when I've the girl has said, yeah, I got a girlfriend. I'm like, okay, that's cool. But I know I'm just trying to kick it with you. Just trying to blase blah, you say whatever. And you still get the information. So it all depends on, I think, the situation, especially like you said in the club. That is a social gathering where we're trying to interact. So I'm going to try. But if you persist and you say, no, I'm sorry. I got a boyfriend. I'm done. I'm not here fighting you. I have to try to break the first barrier though. I didn't walk all the way over to you.
Yeah.
I gotta try.
That dude didn't know the guy, your boyfriend. Like he has no
I don't know him.
Or affiliation with your boyfriend. So there's no reason for him to care. That's not as for a person who has a boyfriend and I don't even mention I have a boyfriend. It really don't make a difference, especially in the Caribbean community. It don't make a difference to bring it up. It don't. Sometimes he's even actually there like 10 feet away because he just let me and Chameleon and Jensine do our thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like he just lets us, you know? Yeah. And sometimes he's just like a few feet away. It just really honestly like don't make sense, especially in the Caribbean community, to say that you have a man. Like they don't care.
Like you said,
at the end of the day, they still get the information they wanted, no? Because it works sometimes in their favor. So right. If you're that type of person that's like, you know,
I have a question to the girls, and we're gonna get out of here on this particular topic when it comes to I feel when it comes to this particular topic, it's a smaller microscope on the bigger subject on why women can't really support each other for real, if that makes any sense. And I want to obviously understand that a little better as a guy, why when things come up where women want support from each other, it tends to be harder if guys are not also supporting it. And I would like to hear you guys' explanation. I think, I personally feel, and it could be an ignorant standpoint, that women aren't always what's the word I'm looking for before I get in trouble? I don't, as I'm in this jungle here by myself, I can see these six eyes just peering down on me. Content, that's the word. It's hard to be content as a woman. Is that something true? Is that a positive thing, meaning that we're always striving for better? Or is that sometimes a backlash on the woman culture? I honestly feel that way, that there's a content issue, whether it comes to job, family, friends. I haven't heard a woman say, you know what, I'm good. Is that a thing?
I think that's a deep conversation. Like, even that should be a topic for the next podcast. But some people definitely not even, I don't even think this is a woman thing, because I find like some people are just, contentment is not a thing, that they can never just be satisfied, like with, or be happy. Like, being happy is like foreign to them, like, you know what I mean? I actually listened to an excellent podcast about like how people who are like not happy like live in the past usually, and when you live in the past, like your mind is no longer controlling your body is now in control. So whenever you know change happens, that's when you feel uncomfortable. That uncomfortable feeling is a good thing, because now your body is not the thing leading your mind. It's not your mind is leading. You need your mind, your brain to lead, because your brain is used to you doing these things every day. Even if they're things that make you unhappy because you do the same thing every day, you feel comfortable. So I think it's just that some people, a part of it is like being unhappy and dissatisfied is like a part of their routine, and they don't even know, they're not even conscious of it.
Okay. I think
I don't know, but it can go deep. This is another podcast, I think, topic that we could talk about.
All right, Jensine, jump in and then Cammy, close us out.
So I think, you know, going back and just a different spin on it, I mean, there's so many different ways you can take it, but going back to women, I think I noticed, like, you know, I want Camelia and Cammy, I'm always going to be supporting and the want the best for them. And I think we all support each other because we all are self-fulfilled and we all have self-fulfillment and we're trying to better ourselves and we have other things that we're working with. Now, I noticed, though, some women and even older women that they've devoted their lives in trying to be, like, where maybe they don't have a lot of self-esteem or they've try to devote their lives of getting the trophy of a man, that once they get older and their beauty's quote unquote fades, or they get older, and then I notice that they end up being kind of a little bit more bitter and they're not as supportive, or maybe they don't understand different things, because that's when they've devoted their whole entire life over which guy can I get, and then that's all right. They know, and they're not, you know, self-fulfilled. So I think that has something to do with it in a short
term. Yeah. In a short period. Good. Camelia?
I was just going to say, I think, like, what you said, like, the question you asked, Genesis, like, why a woman just have to be haters, right? That's pretty much your question.
Yeah.
So I just think that, like, society has, like, kind of groomed women into that, because think about it, like, back in the day, women were had to marry who they were set up with. They didn't really have a choice, right? They couldn't work, and then they were always, like, challenged, or always told, like, well, once you get old and your looks fade away, your man can go look at another woman with young okay. body, perky titties, like, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. And I think just, like, in every aspect, like, whether it just be self-esteem issues, like, whether it be about your body, whether it be about your marriage, whether it be about your work, like, it's just always ingrained in a woman's head, like, well, you know, at one point, like, you know you felt like you work hard, for instance, for this job or something, and you're not even, like, where you want to be, and then you see, like, a girl doing what you wanted to do, and it's just hard mm-hmm. for you to be grateful for her, because, you know, at the end of the day, you probably feel like that should have been you, like, I'm a good woman, blah blah blah, like, that's probably what goes through, like, your head, like, or you see right. like, or, like, in the case of the topic that we were just talking about, like, why do women want other women's men, right? Like, right. it just be like, well, I'm a good woman too. Like, why he don't want me? You get what I'm saying? Like, I think mm-hmm. that's just, like, something, like, I don't know why naturally.
Subconscious,
like,
or.
Yeah, like, and I think that one thing that I am seeing, like, in the past, I want to say about 3 years, is, like, a lot of women empowerment conferences and gatherings, and I feel like it's necessary, because I feel like that's, like, something that has to be intentional. Like, we have to tell women, like, let's try to be happy for one another.
Well, those women empowerment conferences be leaving a certain type of women out too, and that's another, that when we get into the next subject, like, it's again another form of hating, like, other women, because now you've secluded, like, grouped yourself into this only certain type of women in these women conferences, and other type of women are left out of it as well. Like, it's still, like, formed around, like, this competitive nature as women. And, like, right. said, she brought up a good point, is that, remember back in the days that we had to look good to get the suitor, because this man had choices and we got whoever would marry us. And right. we got to pick from the buffet. And so right. we had to dress better. We had to have the better ass, the better tits, the better face, the better skin. We don't know, whatever this man wanted back, you know, and it's always going to be a competition in between women. And it even, like, still, it's evolutionary too, because who this man picks to have offspring with, at the end of the day, it's having offspring. And believe it or not, even though we don't have kids, at the end of the day, it's feel that thing, because why does that man, he's not conscious of, like, kids, but why you want to get with this girl? Because maybe you picture your children in her somehow, like, she has qualities that you want, and then you don't right. have, and then you just feel away, like, I don't have that butt, I don't have that skin, you know what I mean? And you're gonna feel, as a woman, inadequate. And then especially with aging, like, there's so much, like, men, they always get complimented as they age, the salt and pepper hair and the salt and pepper beard, which I'm all for, I love it. And what do we get? We got to keep dyeing our hair. We can't have salt and pepper hair. Are you crazy? No. So it just like that is true. This is a good topic, and it goes really deep. Like, you know what I mean?
I think being
a hater is always like a bad thing in a way, because it's just her feeling insecure about herself, and it's human nature. People feel insecure and inadequate all the time, not just women, you know? So
I think we're gonna pick the subject up next time, especially when we bring Dre back on. I think it's a big subject. I like the way and the intellect that the girls are able to break it down. It's like therapy, you know? We just get it out. We just got to vet and see what are the reasons why our society is. And we just got to always check the culture and try to do better. So the first way to do better is to actually talk about it, recognize it, and then we can figure out how we can be better as a society. I think we had an amazing show today. Thank you, ladies. I think I did well standing in with the lionesses today, you know, in the jungle. You know, they didn't swallow me up. Next week, we're going to have Dre back right here. Don't forget to listen on all streaming platforms. Don't forget to follow Verge Magazine at Verge Mag on Instagram and Twitter. And you will see us here next week. We appreciate you. For Camney, Camellia, Gen C, and I'm DJ Genesis. We're out. This is The Drop. Thank you.